and thank you for joining me, New Moon Mom, on my podcast for parents, pagans, and everything in between. Join us as we talk about raising heathens and burning sage. Hey guys, welcome back to New Moon Mom. I know it's been a minute, but I think you guys can forgive me a little bit. I've been dealing with some fun stuff at home. The kids are back in school now, thankfully, and everything seems to be settling down, so I want to make sure that I was taking some time to get back to this podcast that I love doing, and I want to thank you guys so much for hanging around. Today we're going to be talking about solitary practices and coven work. Now, solitary practice I think most of us are familiar with. It's something that I think a lot of us have done and has led us to the craft, because we're not always sure how to get started, so sometimes we just jump in with both feet and see what happens. For those of you who have not and you're just kind of dabbling around the edge, I would like to give you some ideas on how to start as a solitary practitioner. So for a lot of you, this will be kind of groundwork that you've already done or might sound like something that you're already familiar with. After this, we'll talk about how to get into a coven and some coven work and the difference between the two and what might be more your style. So for solitary work, what I've always appreciated about it is the freedom to kind of do whatever it is that you want to do. You're not really following anyone's particular rules, or you're not really beholden to someone else's guidelines. There's a lot of flexibility in solitary work. You don't really have to stick to one particular vein. You don't have to say, I am a Celtic traditionary witch, or you don't have to say, I am this or I am that. You can simply say that I am practicing the craft, and then whatever it is that you're drawn to, you're kind of free to dabble in and express or, you know, try out. That flexibility is really important when we're beginning, that we don't pigeonhole ourselves into one particular practice and say, this is it for me. As a solitary practitioner, you can look at Celtic work, you can look at Egyptian work, you can look at Norse and pagan and, you know, Chinese and African, and you can learn about all of these practices as a solitary practitioner, and you can see what resonates with you as long as you're being respectful, let's say, to what's open in practice and what's closed in practice, because there are some things that are closed to people who are not of a certain hereditary line or of a certain genealogical background. And that's something that we as solitary practitioners need to be aware of, and that kind of got really deep really quick, so I apologize for that. What I'm talking about in regards to things that are open versus things that are closed are things like the Native American culture, and there are certain things within their culture that are specifically for them and that are passed down from generation to generation that we need to be mindful of, and we need to respect that that might not be something that we're allowed to learn unless we take the proper course and are invited into. So as a solitary practitioner, a lot of things are open to us, a lot of things are out there for us to learn about, we're able to get our hands on a lot of different books. So that's something that was always really awesome to me. And the idea that the possibilities of magic were endless and still are endless. The other thing is that it's, as a solitary practitioner, it is very self-paced. So you can say that, yes, I want to learn, do a deep dive on, you know, fairies or shadow work or crystals or candle magic. All that stuff is open to you. All that stuff is really advisable for you to learn about, and you're able to really learn at your pace and at your level of what you want to learn about. So say you're interested in fairy work, but you might not want to learn everything there is about fairy work. So you have the ability to do a brief scan, to have the knowledge of it, and to then implement it as you have learned. If you are in a coven, that might be a little different. So I think as a solitary practitioner, a lot of us are very familiar with what we're doing and what's available. So, you know, like I said, getting that calendar, getting a calendar to work with, getting a self-paced guide, getting workbooks to hold yourself accountable, I think is the best thing you can do as a solitary practitioner. It's something that you can really use to your benefit and, you know, say I'm going to this month, I'm going to learn about X, Y, and Z. You know, right around this time is a great time for people to start doing shadow work. It's something that as we approach the dark half of the year, as we look at what's available to us and what the world is turning towards, and you know, we resonate with that a bit more and we might be able to find more focus on that. Whereas in a coven, you might be working on, you know, more ancestral work, or you might be working on something completely different. And that's what you bring to the coven. That's what you focus on. That's what you do. And as a solitary practitioner, like I said, you have a little more flexibility. So in regards to a coven, I know a lot of us might not have the resources in front of us to really delve into that sort of work. So I wanted to give you guys some ideas on where to search to find a coven that might be looking for practitioners. And believe it or not, the first place you should be looking is an occult shop, because many witches do work in occult shops. They just might be broom closeted, I guess is the term, and they might not be as open to discussing whether or not they're in a coven. But it is something, it is a place where you can go to learn about covens, to learn about solitary practice as well. So occult shops are always the first place. It's groundwork. It's in your neighborhood. It's where you're going to find people that you might be able to locally connect with. Aside from that, there's always meetup.com. That's an online site where they'll post about events or about, you know, different sort of meetups for people who might be practicing and might be looking for people to join their coven. After that, believe it or not, is a great place to look is a Unitarian Universalist church. They do have pagans who practice there and who do have either weekly, monthly, or bi-monthly sermons that they're able to go and talk about their religion and about what they're practicing and how they practice it. So that might be another great source for you as well. After that, we're looking at things like Pagan Pride Day. So search online for, or look in the occult shops for, you know, flyers or something about upcoming Pagan Pride Days. There's also a subreddit. I'm not technologically savvy with any of these things. So subreddit is part of the Reddit website, and then the sub is a category within that site. I guess hopefully I'm explaining that correctly. Anyway, the subreddit is r/Coven Finder. So if you'd like to go onto Reddit and search for Coven Finder, there's also that available for you as well. Then there is a new site, well, newish. There used to be one when I was younger called the Witch Vox, but that has since been phased out. And the new one that's coming up, and I cannot say the name appropriately, correctly, and I apologize for that, is Mandragore Magica. And that's MandragoreMagica.com. And I'll put a note to that in the episode site as well. And on that site, you can actually search for your state, and it will give you the list of covens in your state, and then also list the areas that you can find them in. So that's a really great resource for you right now to really be able to look at what's out there and to see that maybe you're not alone. And I know that sometimes it can feel like that in this practice, that we are alone and that we might not have the resources available to us. But there are so many things out there that are free, that are opening and welcoming, that we need to make sure that we're staying connected. So that's pretty much the rundown on how to find a coven. What I want to talk to you guys about now is some of the red flags that we need to look out for in a coven. Because there are, you know, when you're dealing with religion or spirituality or however you'd like to focus on this, there are some red flags that come up in every one of these types of groups. Some of those things that we need to be mindful of are the monetary expenses. This is the easiest one that we can fall into is, oh, you need to pay to play. Covens should not have you sign up, or, you know, there shouldn't be a donation to join, especially Outer Court. I can tell you from my coven that there was no sign-up fee, I guess. I have heard about people doing that. I would advise against covens that request that, as a coven is meant to be a group of people working together. There shouldn't be any financial burden placed on one person more than the other. I can tell you that in our coven for Sabbats and things like that, we all do bring something to the table, but there's nothing asked outside of our means for us to do that. So for instance, if we're having a Sabbat, each one of us will bring a side dish and our high priest or high priestess will make the main meal. So it might be like they'll make a ham and then I'll bring the Brussels sprouts or, you know, whatever. Each of us will bring a bottle of wine. One person will be asked to bring one thing. One person will be asked to bring another thing for the altar. So there's no one person who is taking on the brunt of the financial or, altar responsibilities. So always be on the lookout for what seems like unfair division of labor, I guess we call it. The other thing is to always be mindful of the energy of the coven. If you feel like you're not in a safe place, run. Don't stay. Don't question it. Trust your gut. If you ever feel uncomfortable in a coven, leave. There is nothing that says that you have to stay in a coven. I am very fortunate that my coven is wonderful. We all get along. Everything's great. Yay! And that's how it should feel. It should feel like a family. It should feel like friends. It should feel like when you walk in, you're looking forward to this. Aside from that, just be aware that all that glitters isn't necessarily gold. When you're dealing with a group, just, trust your vibe, trust your gut, trust what you think is a safe environment for you, and know that you don't have to join one coven and stay there. You can grow as a person. I know many people who are part of many different covens, and that has helped them grow both emotionally and spiritually. So I highly, highly, highly suggest that you do some research, you see what works for you, and you dabble a little bit. Always try outer court. All good covens will offer you outer court first so that you get to know each other as a group. Anyone that says, let's just dive in, we're going to do full moon tomorrow, that is probably a red flag. Not that there's anything wrong with diving right in. It has led to many wonderful situations for me. It's also led to some not so fun times. So everything with a grain of salt and trust your gut, trust your gut. Cannot say that enough. You have to say that one of the best things about being a coven is the sense of community, the sense of feeling like you belong, and also the sense of feeling like there's an education process to it. You trust your high priest and your high priestess to guide you towards that and to help you learn this craft that they're in so that you can then in turn teach it to the next generation. That's the main point of a coven, is to continue on the craft. As a solitary practitioner, you might not have that same sense of community, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be isolated either. On that note, this has been probably my shortest podcast ever, but I wanted to make sure that I got something out. I will, again, I'm going to try to post at least once a month, if not twice a month, and then ideally, like I said, I want to try and get to every Friday putting one of these out. They'll be short, they'll be easy, they'll be straightforward, and hopefully you guys will get some basic knowledge from them. And then as we go forward, I'll also hopefully be having some guests on, because I want you guys to learn, as I've learned, about different crafts, about different genres, veins of the craft, and different ways of practicing. And I can only speak from my experience, so I've been fortunate enough to meet druids and Satanists and Gardnerians and Minoans and all these wonderful people who practice different paths, but who all have something beautiful and wonderful to offer. So please stay tuned, please hang in there, and I promise this podcast will grow and evolve and be something where you can come and learn and get some knowledge and hopefully start some discussions. And aside from that, as I say to my kids before I send them off into the world, be awesome, be good, be kind. Thanks so much for joining me, and hopefully I'll see you guys next week.